pray. Dearest Father, we come to you with humble hearts, with thankful hearts, for today that it's such a beautiful day that we can come and be together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can worship and learn more about you. We pray that you would open our ears and our hearts as we read your word, that you would be with both Jackie and Christy as they share of different missions that are happening both in our town and in the world abroad. We thank you for the opportunity to hear about them and ask that you would just open our hearts and lead us. In your name, Jesus. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25 reads, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." And we're also reading chapter 11, verse 39 and 40. "All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us." Amen.
This church has a heart for mission that is demonstrated in several different ways through our budget. About 25% of our budget goes to mission, both here in town and abroad. That's every time you put $1 in, 25 cents goes to mission. That's pretty amazing, I think. And these missions support both local and international mission work. So, the second way that our church supports mission is through our service, and that includes donations of food, auction items, hospitality and caregiving, and projects like the children's Christmas boxes. This year, the mission budget will be support the following missions: Rainbow Glacier Camp, Pastor Education in Africa, Zach Little with YWAM in Australia, Kate Maxwell, who is teaching in a Christian school in Brazil, Becky's Place, and we will support a pastor and his family from Central Asia. Today, I'm pleased that we have with us Becky's Place, Jackie from Becky's Place. There we go. And we'll talk about Becky's Place, and then Christy will talk about Central Asia. So, Jackie.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. First off, let me just begin by thank you for inviting me to come and speak for a few minutes. I'm just thrilled to be here this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jackie Majakis, and my husband, Stan Majakis, and I have opened a safe house here in Haines for women and children and men who are in abusive situations. About a little over a year ago, after many fundraisers, bake sales, raffles, we raised enough money to sign a year's lease for a large two-bedroom home. So when women call me asking for assistance, we're able to assist them in a much bigger way now. I wanted to share just a tiny bit what our home looked like for you. It has two large bedrooms. In the first bedroom, we have a full-size bed, a crib, a set of bunk beds, a little small desk for the children to do their homework on. So when a woman comes in that has maybe three or four children, I can keep them all together in one spot, and that's really important because usually when they come, they're just pretty broken, pretty frail, at their last notch. So it's good that, and I'm very grateful. A lot of places have very small rooms, and ours is quite large. My room is next to it. It's much smaller. I have my bed, and then I have a little small bed in there as a safety bed in case we have an overflow. I've made a commitment to any of the women and children that come in that I'll stay with them 24/7 during the short period of time that they're with us. We're temporary assistants. It has stretched a couple times to a few weeks just because we had no place to put them, and it was Christmas, and we just felt that was needed, and that's what we did. They have the freedom to come and go, but once they're inside, the doors are locked, and it's pretty secure. We have cameras inside and outside of the building. When a woman comes in and I talk with her, I assess how dangerous the situation may be. If it's pretty dangerous, I contact the police department, and they patrol us fairly often to ensure, again, that we're safe. So that's pretty thrilling. So now we're able to help with more of a long-term assistance. We help with food and clothing. We help with medical assistance, with counseling. We help with transportation in town and outside of town. Sometimes they need to go to Juneau or somewhere else to be with maybe a more supportive family system, so we'll do whatever it takes to get them there. We deal with elder abuse. I've dealt with children being bullied at school. These last few years, we've had a number of women come in that have come from other countries. Their vocabulary is really limited. They're not aware of our customs. They're usually taken to a really isolated area, and they just come seeking help. What can I do to get out of this situation? They are so limited in their vocabulary. So I get interpreters for them. I accompany them to court. I help with protective orders. So it's pretty vast what we cover. It's a large span. We've had women come in that, another example is their teeth, you know, they might not have no teeth. Their husband has hit them numerous times. The teeth are gone, or maybe they're all decayed because they haven't been able to have dental work done. So we've been able to partner with people and get dentures and work done on their little mouths, which helps that self-esteem, their self-worth. It's all part of the healing process to show that they have value and worth and that they're loved, you know. As far as statistics, in 2014, we helped 22 women and children. At the end of 2015, we helped 20. For our little small area, that's really a lot of assistance we've offered. This year, I'm pretty confident we'll reach that amount or surpass it. And when I say we help, it's not just meeting them in the street or talking or a phone call, because we're 24/7. People can call at any time. I mean, we spend hours and days, and we're really involved in helping them, whatever their need may be. So that's pretty remarkable. It's not only in Haines and Clequan and Mosquito Lake. We help other villages, too. They're welcome to come, especially the rural areas. There's such a need. There's such a need. And as we're breaking the silence, more and more they're coming forward seeking assistance, knowing they're not going to be judged, and they're there just to love on them and support them. Our goal is to give options and hope and help. My husband and I feel strongly that this is a calling from God. This is our mission field. We cannot save the world, but we can save our little notch of the world. We can be involved in reaching out and making a difference and touching the lives. And letting them know many times they blame God for what they're going through, and it's not the Lord's fault, you know. So we get to share that with them, and we get to be God's hands extended. We touch one life at a time, and it really trickles down to their children, to their family members. It really reaches out. And to say, when you guys support us, it just flows from you to us and right to the women and the babies. So know that your money is really being put to good use, and you're making a difference a life at a time. We could not do this without you. We really could not financially, and more importantly, through your prayers and your covering. It makes a gigantic difference for us. So I only had a few minutes to speak, so I tried to encompass it all in there. I'll leave a few flyers, my phone number. I'm very accessible. You have any questions, you feel free to call. And again, we thank you. We thank you for your support.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah, this is the right one. You want to come up just for a minute? I'm putting on, you know, people put on hats, and when they put on a hat, the hat says something about who they are or what they're going to talk about. So this is our granny and grandpa hat. It maybe doesn't look like a granny and grandpa hat like any you've ever seen before, but we have grandchildren all over the world. We have children, and these hats were given to us. They come from a place called Pamir, which is up in the mountains, borders Afghanistan. So these are our granny grandpa hats that I will talk a little bit about. Thank you. Yeah, you know, they're from the Pamir. So, as I was thinking this week about mission and missionaries, because Pastor Ron asked if I would talk about mission, I thought, what is God's heart? And I went to God's word, because in Matthew, it tells us, Matthew 18, God's heart is that none will be lost. And we've heard about women and children. These are the lost that God wants found. And I want to talk a little bit about God's heart for the lost. And what is a missionary, anyway? And what is mission? I could ask you to raise your hands, but I'm not going to, because it might embarrass you and it might embarrass some others. But if I were to ask, how many of you have asked Jesus into your life? How many have said, Jesus, I want you as my Savior? If you have said yes, Bob and I have said yes. We want Jesus in our lives. We want Jesus as Lord and Savior. That makes us a missionary. Have you ever thought about that? Once you have asked Jesus into your life is changed. It no longer belongs to yourself. You belong to Jesus. And he takes your life, he's given you a story, like the story that all of these people in her life and in my life and in your life, we all have a story to tell to the nations. There's a song. We have a story to tell to the nations that shall turn their hearts to the Lord. Isn't that what God's heart is? To turn hearts toward him? This is salvation. This is the message. I have asked Jesus into my life, and now I want to tell you so that you will want to have Jesus in your life. That's the story of the nations. That's God's heart for the world. And I could just say amen, and that's the end of the story. But, you know, I have a message. So what is mission? Mission is to go and tell that message to wherever God takes you. And remember in Matthew, that great commission, go ye therefore. Where? Where are we to go? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Well, now, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria really don't have a lot of meaning for us here in Haines, but we have heard about the message to Haines. That's Jerusalem, right here. This is our Jerusalem. And where is Judea? Where is Samaria? And where are the ends of the earth for each one of us? That call is personal. This was a personal story that we heard of God's call to the Jerusalem of Haines. When I was on a ministry trip into Taiwan, God spoke to my heart. The call is personal. It's a personal word to each one of us to take our story of Jesus in my life. And he said, go up the Chinese mountain and learn the blood of the martyrs. Well, I don't do very well with pain and blood. And I thought that must mean go home and pray. You know, I'm good at that. I'm a prayer warrior. But that was not God's call. Over a course of about 3 or 4 years, we discerned that God was really saying to the ends of the earth, China. Go ye therefore, take your message of what God has done in your life to the ends of the earth. And so we went, and for 9 years we lived in China, and that's a whole huge, great big story, 9 years of our life. And toward the end of that time, we knew that God was speaking again. And he brought us back to the United States. And we were asking, as we were in Chung Chau Island and near Hong Kong, God, what now? And I wakened in the middle of the night, and the Lord gave me one word. Psalms. P-S-A-L-M-S. Now, I immediately thought it was a book in the Bible. But the Lord said, no. Prayer seeds Asian Land Ministry Service. That spells Psalms. Isn't that amazing? Prayer. Prayer is part of my life. It's been my life all my life. And it's the very first thing that led me to Bob, because he prayed on our very first date. And we never had a date that we didn't end in prayer. It's our life. And I know he's praying right now for God's word through me to your hearts. This is our life, the message we have to give. And so we said, okay, God, but what does that really mean? Now we're coming back to the States. How does Psalms play out in our lives? And as we came back and began to pray about that, we felt God saying, take a trip. Now, I like taking trips. I love to see the world. And so we took 2.5, 3 months with another two people. And the four of us traveled to India. God gave us the places to go even. India, Nepal, Uzbekistan, China, and South Korea. Now, I want to take just a minute to tell you how we got to Uzbekistan. Where is that anyway? We came back, and a pastor who used to be a minister in Petersburg, Alaska, Ron Snelling, some of you may have heard that name, Ron and Pat. Ron Snelling and his wife invited us to have lunch with them down in Seaside, Oregon. And Ron was sitting there, and he said, you know, Bob and Christy, you have been 9 years in a country where you don't really get the freedom to meet as we do as much and talk about Jesus. I had to sign a paper that said I would not do that when we were there. And he said, you need to get on board again with what the church is doing in America. And I want to give you a little magazine, a subscription to a magazine called Global Prayer Digest. So we got that magazine, and the first issue that came had a little card in with it, and it said, it was from the editor, and he asked, why is Ron Snelling giving you a subscription to this magazine? I have never, ever before or since had an editor ask me why I'm getting their magazine. It seemed a very strange thing. Why would he care? He's selling a magazine. So I wrote back, and I told him about Ron Snelling and what we'd been doing, and he wrote back, and we began this conversation with this man named Larry Beckler. And I've never met Larry Beckler, but Larry was instrumental in us going to Uzbekistan. He asked, is China the only place you're interested in? Are you interested in? And he had a whole long list of places. And the minute Bob and I saw Uzbekistan on that list, we said yes. We had spent over 2 years in a very tiny village in China among an unreached people group, UPGs. Unreached people. They've never heard of the Lord. And we lived in that Muslim town, that little village, the only white people, for over 2 years, telling them, living out our life with the message of Jesus. They had come, this group of people, Salar, Muslim people, hundreds of years before from Uzbekistan, across the mountains. There's so many stories I want to share with you. But the end result of that was Larry Beckler's mother-in-law had an apartment in Uzbekistan, in Tashkent. She's an American who lives in California. Anyway, there's just so many stories. God connected us with Larry Beckler through Ron Snelling with this woman who has an apartment in Uzbekistan. How incredible! Can you see the fingerprints of God? This is a missionary. This is mission. We have a story. And what is that story? It is about freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom Christ has set you free." Don't get back underneath that slavery yoke again. Slavery. The door opened in Uzbekistan, in Tajikistan. I don't have time to tell you the stories. The door opened because I told and Bob told our story, my story. I connect with you, my sister. I have abuse over my head and many other names, but God set me free. And my story to Muslim women who live incredibly abusive lives opened the door when I told my story of abuse to be able to share with them and help them meet Jesus who can set them free. Nodira. I just want to real quickly tell you about Nodira, a young woman who was going to college. She had just started. She had a boyfriend. These are two young people who have accepted Jesus Christ. They lived in Tajikistan. They had been set free of Islam and accepted the Lord. And in the mosque with their family, the imam asked the congregation, like I might ask you, is there anyone here who has said, Jesus is my Lord and Savior? Now that's pretty easy for us to stand up here. This is a safe place, dear friends. Nobody's going to come knocking on your door and take your life because you stand up and say, Jesus is my Lord. This young woman of 19 years old stood up and said, Jesus is my Lord. That afternoon, the imam was on her doorstep telling her parents, you either take that woman's life or you kick her out of your home and your village, or you find a strong Muslim man and get her married within the week. Those are your options. She was not afraid. Her boyfriend was also a believer, and he said, I will not allow any of that to happen to you. We will be married before the end of the week. You belong to the Lord, and he has called us to be believers in him. Saeed and Jenya, the people that we are hoping to bring here next summer. He is a pastor, and she runs a kids' club. Nodira, as a young woman, was teaching to get some money at that kids' club. Saeed and Jenya said, we will take care of you. We will be your parents, and we will have a wedding ceremony. The end of the story is they got married. They now have a little boy named Samuel who is already nearly 3 or 4 years old. These are our children. These are our family. And dear friends, they are part of your family, the family of God. We are called to set people free to know the love of Jesus in their lives. We've a story to tell to the nations. Saeed and Jenya are very precious to us. We are grandparents to their children. They gave us these hats to wear on our last trip, and it's very emotional for me. They are our children. They don't have the freedom that we have. They're under persecution 24/7. And the reason that this is their first Sunday in the U.S., and I wonder what it's like for them to gather in a free place, to worship where everything has been hidden. For 9 years, we've been going in and out of the Stan countries, telling the story of Jesus to men and women and children and helping them be set free. But they have to be in freedom undercover. They don't have the freedom to go out and tell the story like we do. It's undercover. Great persecution. And so they are having a little bit of a respite after many, many years of the frontline ministry, working with Voice of the Martyrs and working with pastors and working with people telling the story to help other people be set free. It's a cost. And they have come to the United States for 9 months, and they are back in New Haven, Connecticut right now with their three children. And our hope and our dream is to bring them up here, that you can meet them and hear the story from them about their lives and what it's like to live in the Stan countries today and be a Christian. It's a wonderful opportunity to meet face to face, because being a missionary is an individual call, but it's a call lived out corporately. We are the body of Christ, the hands and feet, as our sister said. You are a part of that mission call. Your hands and feet joining together with Saeed and Jenya and with other hands around the world. If I had that globe up here, I would show you the places that Bob and I have traveled and the hands around the world that connect, that touch our hearts so deeply and call us to prayer. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our Father, that we can call you Father and we can come to you and seek you and be found by you, that you do hear us. Oh Lord, we need you. How we need you. We thank you that you come, that you fill our hearts so we can go out and touch other lives, that none will be lost. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.